February 25th. Welcome on into Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman Arendt. Cherry.
Yes.
Story time.
All right.
Yesterday, I was reading the book that we are going to discuss today on the show. It's called You Didn't Hear This From Me. It's all about gossip. It's by a Philadelphia writer, Kelsey McKinney. Mm-hmm. Anyways, and this is a true story. This is not a rumor.
Okay.
I was reading the book. I turned to the final page. I'll never forget. This book has 240 pages because of what happened next. As I'm on the final page of this book about gossip, someone drops a crazy rumor into my lap. I felt a jolt of electricity.
Wow. This was destiny.
I almost had literal goosebumps. The convergence. I've just read 240 pages about gossip. And then as I'm finishing the book, this piece of gossip comes to me.
You're such a good storyteller. I'm sucked in.
and so what I took from this, first of all, is that the world is full of crazy coincidences. But second of all, the person who was telling me the gossip was not like a family member. And normally when you're having a conversation with someone, there's a little bit of buildup, right? You know, hey, how you doing? How was your weekend? You got to ease into it.
They went straight to it.
Well, not only did they go straight to it, immediately, we're both engrossed in the conversation. I mean, we're going back and forth. It's like the ultimate social lubricant. It's better than booze. A rumor immediately bonds you to the person who told that rumor.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Every single time. Assuming it's something you're interested in, which I was in this case. So.
And you're not going to tell us what the rumor was.
Of course not.
Oh, of course. You don't want to.
Well, it's not even.
What's the payoff here?
Wouldn't even know the people involved. It doesn't. Okay. It doesn't matter to you.
Okay.
I'm saying the point is that it makes you think about the power of gossip, which we're going to talk about today on the show. So our question for you is, do you like gossip? Have you ever regretted it? Have you been the subject of a rumor? Do you have gossip thoughts? Give us a call, 888-477-9499. Email studio2@whyy.org. Or hey, if you're a Studio Tuber on YouTube, drop your comment right there in the chat.
Yeah, and no judgment. This is going to, we're going to create a safe space.
Of course.
You know.
We always do.
Yeah, we always do. So we have our trio of news stories.
Yes.
We're going to dive right in. And our top story for today is about SEPTA. SEPTA will begin road testing bullet-resistant safety compartments for bus operators this spring. And this comes as a result of years of union demands following a rise in assaults. And let me tell you what's going to happen today. A SWAT team is scheduled to fire on a prototype this afternoon at a law enforcement training ground in Upper Bucks County. It's a demonstration by the manufacturer building the enclosures, and that manufacturer is Custom Glass Solutions. Now, you probably have followed the stories. Bus drivers have said they've been spit on, they've been punched, assaulted, and attacked, and they have demanded protection. And then in October of 2023, Bernard Gribben was shot to death while driving his morning route in Germantown, that part of the city. And that's when SEPTA got with this manufacturer and they started the conversation on how to protect the drivers. And so union representatives from various cities across the country, Avi, they are expected to attend today's demonstration. And they're hoping that they'll be able to use the results to advocate for similar protection in their cities.
I'll cite the Inquirer's reporting on all of this, by the way. And I'll only add that, look, it's not even controversial to say that the fact that this is necessary points to a failure of society on several levels. And but at the end of the day, this is something that the union asked for with good reason. And it looks like they're getting it.
And by the way, if this goes through, SEPTA would be the first public transportation agency in the U.S., according to reporting, to run transit buses with cockpits for operators that include armored glass.
Cockpits, even just that.
I know. Yeah. For a bus.
Story number two, another story we've been following over the last several weeks. Governor Josh Shapiro announced today that $2 billion in federal funds that had been frozen by the Trump administration have now been released. Remember, Shapiro was suing and is still suing, actually, the Trump administration, arguing that this federal funding freeze was unconstitutional. This was $2 billion already committed to the state of Pennsylvania. So why were they unfrozen? The governor says it's because he was part of a group of governors that went to the White House, that talked to members of the administration and explained to them what was going on, and they then released the funds. However, the lawsuit, as I mentioned, is ongoing because they want to make sure this does not happen again, they being the governor and his administration. Also recall, the Attorney General of Pennsylvania did not sue in this case, refused to sue in this case, according to the governor. So the governor's office had to sue on the state's behalf. For right now, the upshot is it looks like the $2 billion will be dispensed, as promised, to the state of Pennsylvania.
The thing that is glaring to me is that, to me, elections matter, you know, because you have an attorney general with dozens and dozens of lawyers at his disposal who did not stand up for the Commonwealth folks. And you had a governor who has, I don't know, about 20 lawyers at his disposal, you know, for his, the general counsel's office, that had to step in and file a lawsuit and act as though he were almost the attorney general. So,
and still are stepping in because they're not dropping the suit.
Yeah.
So that cost is ongoing.
That cost is ongoing. It's probably going to tie up his attorneys for this when we have an army of lawyers to represent the Commonwealth. So just that's my reaction to that. And we'll be watching.
Yeah, it's a bit like a soap opera, a long-running
good
drama.
Good transition.
Oh my God, story number three is about soap operas.
Yes, and this is a pretty big deal. For the first time in 25 years, a new hour-long daytime soap opera launched on network television. It's called Beyond the Gates.
Beyond the Gates.
And
I'm sucked in
already. And by the way, full disclosure, I grew up loving soaps.
You don't need, that's not a full disclosure.
And I just let people know. And Beyond the Gates is centered around, get this, an African-American family, the Duprees, and they are, of course, rich and salacious and scandalous. Take a listen to this clip.
I fell in love with an inconvenient man.
Now you have to deal with the inconvenient consequences. You see how that works?
You couldn't possibly hurt me more than you already have.
Don't try me.
We've got a problem.
Protecting the family is our priority.
Agreed.
See you around the neighborhood.
Ooh, whoa. In 20 seconds, Avi, we got infidelity, a face slap.
Well, there had to be a face slap. If there wasn't a face slap, I would have guessed.
We saw a wedding. We saw some nudity, partial nudity. So much more. And by the way, it's about the matriarch of this family is Anita Dupree, is played by Tamara Tooney, who spent about 15 years on As the World Turns and later was on one of my favorite shows, NBC's Law and Order SVU. And Anita in the show is a once famous singer married to a retired senator, Vernon Dupree, who's played by Clifton Davis. You remember him from Amen. And it's juicy. OK, it's taped in Atlanta.
I remember him from Amen.
I don't know if you watched Amen.
What's
but
Amen?
I did. Amen is a sitcom was starring Sherman Hemsley from back in the day.
Sherman Hemsley, who's from where?
I don't know.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
There you go. See,
can
there's
I tell you
a connection.
Sherman Hemsley
there's
story?
Always a Philly connection.
Sherman Hemsley was a postal worker at the 30th Street, the big 30th Street postal facility for many years and did not get his start in acting until much later in life. He was doing like community theater in Philly shortly before he ended up being on The Jeffersons.
Yeah, rest in peace, Sherman Hemsley. But Clifton
Great
Davis,
actor,
he kind of blew up Clifton, who's now in the new show. By the way, I had to say this. It's on at 2 o'clock on CBS. It's taped in Atlanta. It's based in a fictional suburb outside of our home, Maryland.
Cool.
Yeah. So, but you know, a lot of older soaps were based in Pennsylvania. All My Children, One Life to Live, Loving. But this one,
those were all based in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, fictional towns in Pennsylvania.
So why was Pennsylvania such a good setting for soap operas?
I don't know. I have no
idea. Are we a dramatic people?
Pine Valley, Landview. Those were places in Pennsylvania, fake places in Pennsylvania. Yeah, and of course those shows have since been canceled. But I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Why are they called soap operas? I know the soap part is because soap companies
used to sponsor
them. But what's the opera part?
Because it's theater. It is theater.
But they don't sing.
And that has been my form of gossip, to have that kind of theater. Who smacked who cheated on who, who's gotten married 9 times. I mean, come on.
Would you star in a soap opera about Studio 2?
I'm not a good actress. You know that. How many skits have we done, Avi?
You're great. You're actually.
You know, you're like, Cherry, underrated. You need to get the voice together.
All right. I'll write up a script. We'll call it General Studio. Ooh. And we'll get that thing rolling.
And you got to have a dramatic look.
You would be so good in this. You're really selling yourself short. Okay.
And big hair always works.
Let's
I know
sell
that.
The show. Let's sell the show today. It's all about gossip. We're talking with a local author, Kelsey McKinney.
Yes.
Author of a book called You Didn't Hear This From Me.
Looking forward to
it's
it.
It's a deep dive into gossip. And a lot of you are already writing comments with negative takes on gossip.
Ooh.
But we're going to tell you some positive things about gossip to balance it all out. That's coming up on Studio 2. Email us, studio2@whyy.org. We'll be right back.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. And for the rest of the hour, we're spilling the tea. We're passing it on. We're whispering down the lane. Yes, indeed, we are talking about gossip. It's a universal human habit, and it's often looked down on.
Yeah, in reality TV shows like The Real Housewives, one of my guilty pleasures, gossip often devolves into shouting matches.
I heard it. And I'm bringing it to you, and I'm asking you, and you said
this
no.
This is why
you
don't have told Whitney. That's like my father.
I didn't
father.
Tell her that.
No, no, no. That is like she my top. Like she is
Whitney
like
told you this?
Someone correct. That is like mentoring me.
I didn't tell her that. I heard it from Whitney.
All right. Did you follow all of that? Maybe you like to gossip. Maybe it makes you feel a little bit guilty. Think about the last time you heard a good rumor. Do you feel like you had to share it right away? Or did you feel like you had to hold it in?
Okay, okay. Joey, I have got to tell you something.
Oh, what is it? What is it?
Oh, my God, it's so huge, but you just have to promise me you cannot tell anyone.
Oh, no. I don't want to know.
What? Oh, no, yes, you do want to know. This is unbelievable.
No, I don't care, Rach. Look, I am tired of being the guy who knows all the secrets and can't tell anyone.
What secrets? You know secrets? What are they?
And you're not supposed to be gossiping.
No, I know.
Our next guest is the Gossip Queen. She's a writer and the co-creator and former host of the hit podcast Normal Gossip, which shares everyday secrets from strangers. Kelsey McKinney is Philly-based, and her latest book is already a New York Times bestseller. It's called You Didn't Hear This From Me, Mostly True Notes on Gossip. Kelsey McKinney, welcome to Studio 2, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi, Cherry. Hi, Avi. It's nice to be here.
It's really nice to have you, and I would love to hear from folks in the audience today. We already have some pretty interesting comments on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Beans47 says, unfortunately, I am a sucker for gossip. We're going to challenge the premise of unfortunately today on the show. So keep those comments coming in. You can tell us, do you like to gossip? Have you regretted gossiping? Have you been the subject of a rumor? That'd be an interesting story. 888-477-9499. Email studio2@whyy.org. Or hey, if you're on YouTube, drop your comment in the chat. And Kelsey, I wanted to start by showing and not telling. I would love for you to share some gossip with us that's on your mind, or perhaps something you want to borrow from the book. Just weave a quick story for us that can, I guess, let us feel what gossip does to us.
Sure, yeah. So one of my favorite like little tidbits of gossip that I've been talking a lot about lately is this couple went to dinner at like a, you know, a Red Lobster or a Chili's or something, and they're sitting at the table and they're there to celebrate their anniversary. And behind them, at the table behind them, is a couple just having this massive like blow up breakup fight. And they were like, we're not talking to each other. We can't talk to each other at all. Like, we're so laser focused on what's happening behind us that like our date is none of our business anymore. And I think that's such a fun gossip because it's like, yeah, we all are nosy. Yeah. We want to know what's going on.
What happened to the couple behind? They broke up?
Yeah, they broke up in the restaurant.
Oh, my God. At a Red Lobster.
At a Red Lobster. A place usually for love.
Yeah, that's a tough place to have a
breakup. That's where
setting.
You take someone I know. If they are really good at loving you, right?
Yeah, that's
you
what go they
to,
say.
I might take you to Red Lobster.
Betrayed by the lobster. It's horrible. Awful.
And so I got it. First of all, you're an excellent storyteller.
Thank you.
You
that's
know
really
how
nice.
To like pull people into stories. So tell me, what do you think makes really, really juicy gossip? What are the elements? Mm.
I think really juicy gossip subverts your expectations. So often it's something that you think you have an assumption about going in. You're like, I hate this person or I dislike this thing. And then it kind of switches on you, changes your mind. I think really good gossip also just is a tone, right? Like you can see people across a bar. They're using their hands really fast. They're talking really fast. And you know that they're gossiping, even though you're not privy to what they're talking about.
You, in the book, describe yourself as like a... almost like a someone who has gossip in their DNA. Mm-hmm. Like from the moment you were born.
You loved it.
I love it.
You
loved
gossip. Mm-hmm. Even though you grew up in a world where everyone told you gossip was bad, even evil, even sacrilegious.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about your upbringing and what people told you about gossip growing up?
Sure, yeah. So I grew up in Texas. I got here to the great city of Philadelphia as fast as I possibly could. And I grew up evangelical. And so the evangelical faith is really clear on its beliefs in gossip, which is that it is black and white. It is a sin. And so to them, it's like to gossip is the same tier of sin as adultery or murder or all sorts of other things that we kind of universally agree are bad. And there was no room for nuance there at all. It was just like, we hate it. It's awful. You shouldn't do it. And so as a kid, I was always getting in trouble because I was just like, in my bones, I had to do it. I had to tell people what I had heard. I had mm-hmm. to like reshape it into something more exciting. And so people were constantly telling me like, this is a thorn in your side. This is something like God has given you to tell you that you're not holy, right? And I was like, well, that sucks because I love it. So that was really hard for me as a child. But I did kind of, as I grew up, realize that there's a lot more nuance there that like, often I even now will hear people react really strongly against gossip, like, oh, it's bad. It's bad for you. It's evil. And like, I think that kind of black and white thinking on something as complex and as integrated in our society as gossip is like really damaging.
Yeah. You even peel back the layers of religion and show that, you know, of the tens of thousands of verses mm-hmm. and subjects, gossip is only mentioned 8 times, yet we talk about it. I've been to church. I used to spend every uh-huh. Sunday and Wednesday at church.
It's only mentioned that many times in the Bible.
In the Bible, yeah. But you hear it all the time in sermons and you're totally. Preached about it. Why do you think gossip has sort of been so focused on in mm-hmm. religious circles?
Well, first off, I think it's incredibly hypocritical of the church to be so anti-gossip because, like, if you grew up going to church, most mm-hmm. of the New Testament is written by Paul. Paul was not there for the events of like Christ's
that
life.
Part.
And therefore, like a lot of the Bible is either you're assuming something was told to him and that he heard it secondhand and then was able to follow in the spirit. So even if you believe it, it's like most of this book is not firsthand witnessed, which is by my definition gossip. I think why it's demonized is complicated, right? It's easy for the church to believe in black and white thinking. It's very simple, right? It's much easier to tell people something is always bad than it is to tell them that, like, well, in some situations, it might be okay if you're doing it with certain parameters, right? That's more complicated to say from a stage. That's the first thing. I think the second thing is that specifically in the evangelical church, there is a power dynamic that they want to maintain, which is that the people at the top want to stay at the top and they want to maintain that power. And when people gossip is always a tool for people without power. You can always talk to your friend and form a union. You can always talk to your coworker about your boss, right? And so within the church, it's one of the only forms of power that people that aren't in a seat of power have.
And wasn't there a story in the book? There was a pastor, I can't remember if it was a pastor or a preacher, who's having an affair or is doing something wrong. Mm. And you identify that from your past and you're thinking, of course they wouldn't want gossip in the church because that could threaten this person's very privileged position.
Right. And they wanted to control the narrative, right? So often you'll see, I mean, affairs are coming out with evangelical pastors, you know, every single week basically at this point. And they will say, you know, come to us, talk to us, talk to leadership of the church. And that I find
confess your sins in me, but don't talk about them to someone else.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I think is bad for the people of the church too, right? Like even if you are a Christian and you believe in that, wouldn't you want your church to be somewhere that's like safe for everyone? And often that kind of conversation is how you get to that point.
And the priests had all the tea. I used to go to confession. They knew everything about everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great con.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it concentrates all the social power in one person
in one place.
Who's at the top, which is a really interesting way to think about it. I did want to get this comment in from Judy on YouTube. It just wants a definition of gossip at the top, which we should have done. I'm sorry, Judy.
Sure,
You actually have a pretty simple definition of
very
gossip?
Very broad.
That encompasses a lot of things. So could you give your simple definition of gossip?
I function under a really broad definition of gossip, which is its like technical definition, which is just two people talking to each other about someone who isn't there. So that means that if you and I are like talking about someone in the other room, that's gossiping. But if two doctors are talking about a patient, that's gossiping. And if you and I are talking about like what Jalen Hurts said on Late Night, that's also gossiping.
It doesn't have to be furtive at all. It doesn't have to be secretive. Like if we just are, like you just brought up a celebrity.
Yeah.
If we sit here on the radio and talk about a celebrity, you say that's a form of gossip.
Yeah, it is, technically.
And I thought about it because we're journalists.
Yeah.
And so technically, we're paid to gossip. But the only difference is we verify our gossip many times by going to the source or by people who are supposedly in the know. So how do you sort of like determine truthfulness and the amount of skepticism you alert or you assign to a given tidbit?
Yeah. I mean, I am also a journalist, and part of being a journalist, I think, is many people become journalists because they're like, I want permission
to gossip. Uh-huh. I know. We want to tell people.
Yeah. We want to know what's going on over there. And if you have a badge and a reason, you can go over there and say, hi, I'm a member of the press. What are you talking about? And they'll just tell you. And like that rules.
And we get to ask all sorts of questions and people answer them.
Yeah, exactly. It's a gossip's dream. Like you just have license to do it. That was not your question.
I know. Yeah.
What did you ask me? Remind me.
How do you determine how much truthfulness or skepticism that you want to assign to any given tidbit?
Yeah. So I think a lot of reporting starts with gossip, right? In that like you hear something and then you go try to confirm it. But reporting is like very much not gossip. Like if you talk to reporters, they always have a white whale, right? Like this is the story I've been chasing forever that I'm desperate to tell, but I can't get it confirmed, right? That's gossip, not reporting. What's interesting about gossip is that it exists in a like very hefty spirit of doubt. Like there is this just giant amount of question mark that goes over any gossip that you're telling, right? Like even the title of the book is kind of a joke, right? It's you didn't hear this from me, but obviously I'm the one telling it to you.
We are hearing it from you.
You are hearing it from me, but that's intentional, right? Because the way that we gossip is this constant kind of undermining of the thing that we're saying. You're saying, well, I'm not certain, but what I heard was this.
I want to use that to ask you about the podcast. And if you haven't heard the podcast, it's called Normal Gossip. You're no longer the host, but you're the co-creator.
I am not.
You're the co-creator of it. Sort of just a massive grassroots success story. And I'm curious first about how the show works. So for those who have never heard it, you tell a story that someone has passed along to you, often a listener, right?
Almost always a listener. Yeah.
And it's anonymized, so you don't know who it's about. And it's not about celebrities. It's about normal people. That's why it's called Normal Gossip. So how does it work? A listener submits something, and do you verify it on any level? Like, how does the process work from getting a piece of gossip from a listener to getting it on the show?
So listeners either email or call in gossip to the show. We're always accepting it. And then we pick the ones that are big enough and good enough to last an hour, right? Because most gossip isn't like complex enough to last that long. So we sort through it. And then once we've found that one that we think is really good, we go back to the person who submitted it and we say, hey, we want to use this. Here's what we're thinking, right? We would change the location to this. We would change your names to this. We would change these identifying details to try and keep you safe. And sometimes, you know, they would say, oh, well, you can't do that because I changed the names and you've accidentally changed it back to the right names. And we would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
You've unanonymized it.
Yeah. And we would like pick new names together. I would ask them follow-up questions. But this is always a question of the podcast, right? It's like, how much of it is true is the question that's like at the heart of that. Yeah. And like the answer is you're never going to be satisfied by that answer because like we are receiving gossip from someone who heard it third hand. By the time it gets to me, it's been corrupted through like just a layer of telephone that you can't take back. And so like we are anonymizing it. We're like changing the order. I'm making the storytelling a little sexier, a little better. But like, I don't know how much of it is true ultimately. Like we try to confirm as much as we can, but it's not journalism.
Got to ask you, from taking in all these stories, in your professional opinion, what are the places and spaces that are just rife with gossip?
Bachelorette trips.
That was so fast.
We had one bachelorette trip episode a season, and we have a stack of them. because it's like we can't just do all bachelorette trips. Like it will get
this
repetitive.
This is the show all about bachelorette.
It's bachelorette trips, hands down.
That's where the things that you gossip about happen, or it's where the gossip gets
swapped.
Both.
It's both bachelorette trips, group trips of any kind. Like if you're invited to go on a trip with like 8 people, I would recommend you say no based on the inbox that I've read. And then also workplaces. Honestly, like we get a lot of like workplace or like hobbyist gossip. And what all of those things have in common, right, is like it's people who don't usually interact with each other being shoved into a really tight space. Like you and your friends, if you are an adult, are probably not creating that much chaos within your friend group. But the minute you're put into like a recreational kickball league, suddenly you're around people you don't like, and now there's drama everywhere.
And on one of your episodes, you talked about HOAs. And I used to be on the board of my HOA back in the day.
Wow, you are brave.
It was drama and gossip and backbiting and backstabbing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I had to get off that board. I was like, this is a lot.
But an HOA is a perfect example of that, right? Like, you moved into a neighborhood not because you agree with everyone in the neighborhood and are friends with them. You moved in because it's like, I like this place that I want to live in. And then you're forced to like debate how far your trash can be from the edge of the street, right? Like it's not
drama
fair. You didn't sign up for that.
We're talking with Kelsey McKinney, the author of You Didn't Hear This From Me and the co-creator and former host of Normal Gossip, which is a hit podcast. You too, Sarah says, gossip built civilization.
Like Sarah.
Sarah, welcome.
Welcome.
I salute you.
Welcome to the gossipdom. Email from Suzanne. I love gossip. It keeps me informed, but I try not to be mean.
Yeah.
It's a way to connect with friends and to also laugh and find common ground. Mm-hmm. That's one of the big positives of gossip. It creates an intimacy among the people who share the gossip. I want you to address that, but also it can create then a layer of separation to the person who's being gossiped.
Oh, absolutely.
About. So let's talk about the social dynamics of gossip.
Totally. So something I say a lot jokingly, but it is true, is like you don't gossip with someone you hate. Like you don't go up to your enemy and are like, guess what I found out, unless you're like trying to actively manipulate them and you like are on the traitors. Like, I don't know why you would do that, right? It's not real. You gossip with people you like. And that's because like you're sharing something with them, right? That is like creating an intimacy, a like conversation between you. There's also crazy scientific studies that show that your heart rate lowers when you're gossiping, that like it makes people feel calmer in their body, which is very interesting. And yes, there is an exclusionary problem there, right? That like if I'm talking to you about someone we don't like, we are inherently othering that person. And I think that is like a really big question as a gossip of where you start crossing a line into being cruel or hurtful. You have to think about that. But
do you have a line for yourself?
Yeah, I do. My line is unfortunately not like an easy mnemonic. It's like in my body. Like I think you know when you're talking about someone unfairly, when it feels bad. Like,
it feels just that icky.
Yeah, I think it feels bad. Like sometimes I hear stuff and I'm like, I don't want it, right? Like my body kind of rejects it.
Is there something that type of gossip tends to have in common that kind of makes, that gives you that reaction?
Yeah, I think often, so we know that gossip is often used as a form of social sanctioning, which is the idea that like, if we as a society have decided that like you can't call people names, and then someone is calling people names, and we talk about them, that talking about them can teach them not to do that, right? Or at least like reinforce the behavior that we all agree is good. And so I think social sanctioning is fine, right? If you're gossiping about someone and it feels bad because that person is being mean and bad, that I think is fine. But there is a kind of like yucky gossip, I think, that can exist when people just like dislike someone for no reason and you like can't really identify what it is that they don't like about them. And so they're just like, well, these are the things I hate about them. And you're like, well, none of those things are actually problems. You just dislike them.
And that's almost like talking bad about somebody versus sharing juicy tidbits. And by the way, I want to invite our listeners to call in. Do you like gossip? Have you ever regretted it? Have you been the subject of a rumor? You can call us. The number is 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org. And if you're on YouTube, you can drop your comment or question in the chat. By the way, AGB said on YouTube, I love sharing work gossip with my wife when we get home from work.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I like my part. I get
no
a
doubt.
Lot of, I like to share no with, with the other half. And so I want to bring in a caller. We have Mike from Fairmount on the line. Mike, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment?
Yes, thank you for having me, and thanks for a great show. And your guest is Very, very thoughtful, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
I do understand and appreciate the social sanctioning thing. But I think, like anything else, it has to be taken with a grain of salt. So I'm, you know, glad, I'm not surprised that she has an elaborated sense of ethics and morality around gossip, because that's your métier. But I've seen also so many people hurt by gossip, and also a tendency to kind of mob up. I mean, on the subject of people who don't have power, I can understand, you know, church hierarchy or any hierarchy wanting to be protected by having the parishioners avoid gossip, even if there's something legitimate to gossip about. But I've also seen it used in such a way that, for example, someone, let's take the example of someone who's from a minority, working in an environment where there's, you know, the people in the majority may not understand or appreciate that person's background or culture, for example. And so that's also fuel for gossip. I've seen it happen. I imagine other people may have as well.
Yeah, that's a good perspective.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. That was Mike from Fairmount.
Thank you, Mike.
I think Mike makes some valid points, because there are some, and that seems like something what Mike was talking about might be on the other side of your ethical line.
Totally.
And you would avoid that.
Yeah, I think so. A show that I'm obsessed with, which I don't know if either of you watch it, Mike, I don't know if you watch this show, but it's called Traitors. It's on Peacock.
I heard about that.
Traitors is wild. But part of why it's wild is that it's essentially the game, like the party game of Mafia, but they put people in a room and then they film it. And so it's like they're lying to each other constantly. And what you see on Traitors immediately is groupthink, which is kind of what Mike, I think, is talking about, which is this idea that like one person becomes really convicted on something and then they just rally everyone around them. And suddenly you have this whole mob going after someone that they may or may not be right to go after. And I do think that's really dangerous and is something that we have to think about really carefully when we're gossiping.
But the flip side, what you talk about in the book, is that sometimes the mob, the gossip mob, ends up outing someone who needs to be outed. So you talk about...
it's messy.
Yeah, so you talk about this example of there was like an anonymized, I think it was a Google Doc or a spreadsheet people would talk about men in media who were essentially predators.
Yeah.
And through this sort of like this sort of group gossip, they were able to out people who had been doing terrible things for a long time. And that's subverting the traditional power structure.
Yeah. So this is a really interesting example, because I do think, right, so what we're talking about now is like a kind of whisper network, right, which is something that is used by people without power to explain to each other how to be safe in a place, right? So saying like, this person is abusive or hurtful or whatever, and that kind of travels along like a secret network of people talking to each other to try and keep each other safe. What's interesting and kind of a problem about that specific example is that the list became public. And so instead of having this conversation amongst only people in the same industry, amongst everyone who kind of knew what they were talking about and knew to take it with like perhaps an entire box of salt, but to have a general awareness, you had people who had no idea what was going on seeing that list. And that is, I think, very like chaotic, because you create a situation in which, one, you're very close to libel, which is a line that is dangerous. And two, you've made a situation where the whisper network is no longer helping people because you have people mad about the list itself. Mm-hmm. And that is not the goal of like whisper network gossip. The goal is not to be like, we're going to spread this information in order to create a national news story. The goal of a whisper network is to keep each other safe.
Yeah. But it's sort of, you see these type of whisper networks being created in other ways, like on Facebook groups. I think you talked about that. Are we dating the same guy? And all of those. And we'll talk about that. We're about to go to a break. And I want to encourage our listeners to call in. We have someone on the line who we're going to take after the break. But do you like to gossip? Have you ever regretted it? Have you been the subject of a rumor? The number is 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org. And if you're on YouTube, you can leave your comment or question in the chat. And I want to really talk about that, because I myself have been the subject of a rumor before. I know. It was salacious.
Uh-oh.
And it was so untrue. And it would have been funny if it wasn't me, but it was.
See?
So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. You are listening to WHYY 90.9, and this is Studio 2. We'll be right back.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. And if you are just joining us, we're talking about a universal human habit. Some of us resist the urge, and the rest of us simply cannot help ourselves. We're talking about gossip.
Our guest this hour is Kelsey McKinney, co-creator and former host of the Defector podcast, Normal Gossip, which shares secrets and gossip from total strangers, and yet it is still captivating. Her latest book is You Didn't Hear This From Me, mostly true notes on gossip.
And our question for you, our listeners today, is this. Do you like to gossip? Have you ever regretted it? Have you been the subject of a rumor? This is a safe space. We want to hear from you. You can call 888-477-9499. You can email studio2@whyy.org. And for our YouTubers, you can drop your question or comment in the chat. We want to bring in a caller. We have Mike from Willow Grove on
another
the line.
Another Mike.
Yeah, has a comment about a partner who gossiped. Uh-oh. Mike, you're on the line. I'd love to hear your comment.
Yes, hi. So my story is I was just out of college, 23 years old, and I got a good job with the government, government service, Defense Department job. And the way the government works is they'll have periods where they get enough money to hire a lot of people at once. So this influx of young people came into this military base and civilian. We weren't military. We were government workers. And there was a whole lot of people around the same age. And I fell in love with this girl that started there at the same time I did, worked in the same branch. And she was engaged at the time. But so we really, you know, wasn't trying to do anything. We started chatting, and it was just completely natural. We fell in love. And the first 6 months, I was head over heels. I was like, this is the first time. I mean, I had girlfriends in college, but this was true love. And eventually, after about 6 months, what I liked about her was she was very pretty, and she was very good with people. People liked her. She was very friendly. But what started happening was that we would be talking to people, to coworkers. They would leave. And she would just start bad-mouthing them, like, relentlessly. And then she would call me up. Our desks were a couple hallways away. She'd call me up, and she would just start gossiping. And I finally said to her, I said, look, if that's all you want to do and you can't tell them, I said, just please just stop calling me. So we had kind of a bad breakup. And then it turned on me. I'm in the division office, and this woman, this mutual friend of ours, comes in and goes, oh, let's call her Lisa. That's all right. She, in front of a room full of people, she goes, oh, Lisa said you were the worst boyfriend she ever had.
Yeah, came back around.
Oh, Mike, thank you. No, Mike from Willow Grove delivers on the tea. Thank you, Mike from Willow Grove. I mean, and you see the turnaround. Have you?
Yeah.
I got to ask you, having been subject of a room, have you ever been the subject?
Yeah,
rumor,
I mean,
Kelsey.
I think it is very hard to survive middle school in the United States without being the subject of a rumor. Like, it's pretty common to end up in this situation. And, like, I find this story so funny because, like, one, I'm sorry that you fell in love with someone that was not a great match
and
for you. Like, that's difficult. But two, it's hard. Like, yeah, you broke up with someone who badmouthed all the time. Like, that is kind of, at least she was consistent. Like, you've got to hand her that.
That part, yeah.
Let's bring in Jay now. From Stratford, New Jersey, on line one. Jay, according to this note here on our screen, was the victim of gossip. Jay, you're on Studio 2. Tell us your story.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Jay. Hi.
Hey. So when I was in high school, I remember a lot of almost the entire high school would badmouth me, but I didn't find it bad. I found it actually empowering because, like, for me, I lived in North Jersey, so I used to go to the clubs like Limelight and all that for, you know, on the weekends. And so the people I hung out with, the club kids, they all, you know, I hung out with them. That's fine. But But then, you know, because of the styling and the type of dress, everyone thought I was gay, which I wasn't. But, you know, along with that, everyone thought that I was doing drugs at the same time and all that, that came with it. But I just thought it was funny. Like, I didn't do any of that. I went partying on the weekends and came home. I really didn't do anything like out of the ordinary, at least what I thought.
People, it didn't bother you so that people talked about you at high school, Jack?
You know, I thought it did at first, but after a while, I'm just like, you know what? Like they're missing out on a big portion of life. So I just whatever. I just thought of it as like nonsense and just kept moving.
That's a good perspective to have from Jay in Stratford, New Jersey. So I think this gets at what you were talking about earlier, Kelsey, about social sanctioning.
Mm-hmm.
So Jay was, I don't know what the limelight is, but I guess it's a music club or something.
Yeah.
And I guess by going there, people felt like that was out of bounds, that made Jay a type of person that was undesirable in the rest of the sort of clique of high school.
Sure.
And so they were using gossip, I don't know, to sort of denigrate Jay's choice.
It's interesting, right? Because he's talking about social sanctioning being used in a way that I think is very unfair and hateful, which is to demonize someone for like who they want to date. And it's interesting because I think it shows that Jay is like kind of secure in himself
very
to have
secure.
Not really cared.
Yeah.
But
that would have killed me in high school.
You can't socially sanction someone against something that they don't care about, right? Yeah. Like it's impossible.
Yeah.
Like if you don't care what people think about you, you can't be socially sanctioned, which can be to your benefit in this scenario.
But, so there are more serious that's a serious example. I don't want to say it's not serious, but on a societal level, you mention societies where the government basically turns everyone into spies or gossips against each other.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned East Germany, the Stasi, which is a notorious example of that. The way people in power can use the power of gossip to maintain their control over society. I mean, that is a big potential downside of gossip, is it not?
Totally, yeah. I mean, the Stasi Museum is nuts. Like, if you go to the Stasi Museum in East Germany, they have, like, all of these phone records and things that were just recorded during their powerful reign. And if you are a German citizen who was, like, affected by this, you can go in and read them all. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like, I would pay any amount of money to read every phone call about my family ever. Like, that's a nuts amount of information. And in the wrong hands, it's terrifying, right? Like, you don't want the people in power in charge of you to have every bit of your personal information. It's not safe.
Yeah. Are there any ways people can combat rumors or combat gossip? I mean, maybe put out true gossip? I don't know.
Yeah. I think the truth often wins, right? Like, if you just tell the truth, that often works. I also think often the gossip and the rumor are not about you. Right. Like if you're thinking about like, where is this coming from? What are the fears here? Right. Like Jay's example is a really good one on that, where it's like it wasn't about him. They didn't know that he was gay. They were just terrified of people being gay. And so they were demonizing him for it. Right. And like that isn't about you.
Yeah.
That's about them. And so it's like in that situation, you can just kind of wait till you go to college. It's not always that easy.
You're like, move on. By the way, I want to read this comment from Judy who says, I have regretted gossiping. I was a teenager and actually believed the person I told someone else's business to would keep it to themselves. They did not.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my friend.
Deb says, I've experienced more gossip with the guys in construction than years of growing up. A beauty salon where my mom worked would have never guessed. Let's talk about the way gossip has been interpreted through a gender lens. So you talk about this in the book. People code gossip as female. Then you actually dig into it and you realize that that's in many ways a misdirection. What did you find as you looked into that?
So there are like reasons that we code it as something that women do, which is like even etymologically, the word gossip comes from an old English word, which is gossib, which meant the women who were inside a birthing room. So it would be like your aunties or like your mom's friends in there. And then over time, it became the talk between them. And so the actual roots of the word are in women talking to each other in private spaces. So it makes sense that we have this kind of bias against it. But gossip is something that everyone does. Like I was making a joke when we were off the air that people always tell me like, oh, I don't care about gossip. Men are always like, I don't care about it at all. And then you're like, oh, did you hear that Tom Brady is unretiring?
That
and they're
is
like,
gossip.
What? Like, it's like any, it's, it, it, when it is relevant to you, you care deeply. It's just a matter of whether you care about the thing that someone's talking about or not.
And that makes me wonder, is it just the subjects that people sort of classify as gossipy? They tend to lean, you know, female in a sense? Because no one says that sports talk is gossip, but it is gossip.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I do. I love sports and I love to gossip about them. Like, it's very fun for me. But I do think it's like often you see this in workplaces, especially, right? Is that people will say like, oh, the women are gossiping. And it's like, well, the women are talking about The Real Housewives, which is something they watch on TV. You're all talking about the NFL, which is something you watch on TV. Yeah. Like, it's like we're not, that, either we're both gossiping or we're not, right? Like,
This has now become a good bit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring in Mike.
Oh, my God.
From Wilmington.
Wow, a third Mike.
So, you know, Mike from Wilmington, you're online for, and apparently has a gossip story from back in college. Mike, you're on Studio 2. You're our third Mike, and you're our best Mike, I'm predicting. Mike, what do you got for us?
Okay, so when I was in college, I wanted to be part of a fraternity named Alpha Phi Alpha, and I was doing all of the right things, and I had dreadlocks at that time. They wanted me to cut my dreadlocks. I said no. Mm-mm. Eventually, I ended up not pledging. When I didn't pledge, they turned on me. Mm. And they had a guy who was on campus. Can I say a person's name on radio? I don't know if I'm
allowed
to.
Anonymize it. Anonymize it.
Make up the name.
Make up a name, yeah.
Rayvon, not S. he started to make rumors about me terrorizing the group. So much so to the vice president of the school called me into his office and said, if you are going to, you need to stop doing what you're doing. Whatever organization you're running to terrorize this group needs to stop.
What was the
wow.
So what happened was all of my friends turned on me. This is a transformative moment in my life, to be honest. All of my friends turned on me. People stopped talking to me in school, whispering about me as I walked by. The only person who stood by my side was my girlfriend, who I cherished dearly. Eventually, what happened was a fire happened. And the fire was set by this Rayvon other person. When the fire happened, right after the fire, they sent the email that was a spoof of my name. The Georgia Bureau of Investigations traced the email back to his house at home.
Whoa!
They caught him. Charged him for, yes. Charged him for criminal libel, something to that effect, and arson.
Oh, my.
And the organization had to apologize to me. They all brought me into a room. And they had to apologize to me. And one thing that I wanted to mention is that after all of this went down, a lot of the guys who were trained still hated me. They had chants while they were pledging that was against me. And I always found it interesting that you know the truth now. You know that I didn't do these things. But for some reason, they had been trained. They still hated me. Many of them still do today.
Wow. Mike from Wilmington. My hair blew back on this one.
I'm reeling a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I'll give it to you, Kelsey McKinney, because you're the expert. Like, what do you take away from that story? Because this sounds like there was a I don't want to put a psychological label on it, but a deeply troubled individual manipulating this whole situation, using gossip to target this guy. I mean, that is scary.
It's a common form of like targeting gossip that we see, right? Which is like, you've rejected me and I'm mad and therefore I'm going to ruin your life, right? Often we see this in like heterosexual relationships where a man says like, you don't want to go on a date with me and therefore I'm going to tell everyone a bad rumor about you. Mm-hmm. But I think always, like a moral that I always take out of a story like this is that whenever the gossip is coming from someone more powerful about someone less powerful, you should be suspicious of it. So like in this scenario, you have a fraternity accusing someone of bullying. Like, okay, one, have you heard of mirrors?
Yeah.
Two, like you're the powerful entity. There are dozens of you. Yeah. I don't trust that at all, right? Yeah. And I think your radar should always be on that, right? Like a boss gossiping about like people who work for him, you should be suspicious of always.
Yeah.
Can I just read a quote from your book?
Oh my goodness.
And I just want, because we're wrapping up here.
We are.
So you write toward the end, quote, "When I began this seeking," meaning this project, "my personal bias was that gossip was an unfairly maligned part of our experience in the world that needed to be redeemed."
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of come in as a defender of gossip.
Yeah.
How did you transform over the course of writing this book and sort of what's your reflection on the, I think good and bad is too simple, but what's your reflection on the purpose and utility of gossip in the world now?
Yeah. So I came into writing this book really like just committed to the idea that gossip was actually very good and people were confused. And I think that that is true in some scenarios. Like, we've been over a lot of it today where it's like, well, sometimes you're conflating libel with gossip. Sometimes you're assuming that only bad things can be gossip. Sometimes you think only women gossip, right? Like, those things I think are all important things to address. But gossip is a tool, in my opinion, right? Like, you can use gossip for good or evil. And the more that I researched and learned about it and read all of these psychological studies, it's like a hammer can't be inherently good or bad. Mm. It's what you do with the hammer that matters. And so it's like, that is kind of where I ended up, which is that, like, we have this fascinating tool that we all use in all different ways, and we have to know how we're using it.
Is that what you want people to take from this book when they read it?
Yeah, I think so. And kind of just something I think is fascinating about gossip and that I love about the book is that it kind of tries to question, like, what you think of as truth, right? Like, what is it that you, why are you so suspicious of gossip? Like, why do you want to know which parts are true? And that, I think, is really fun.
Mm. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, by the way. By the way, Chicken Parm says, it's the Mike show.
And yeah, says, thank you to every Mike.
The heck with those jerks, Mike. And she's referring to Mike from Wilmington.
Yeah.
And Kelsey, you being here pulled out some salaciousness from our audience.
Yeah.
OMG.
And we can't help, like, let's note that feeling we all felt when we heard that story from Mike. We don't know Mike.
Physical.
We don't know that. We don't know Mike. We don't know any of the people involved. It has no bearing on our life, and yet we were captivated.
And I mean, it left us reeling because the story was so captivating. And
I was tingling. I was physical. You said physical.
It's physical. It's also interesting that most of our gossip came from men. Isn't that interesting?
Bam!
All the mics. And I thank them. Thank you, Mics.
You helped make a powerful
and also
point.
Jay.
You helped make a powerful point today, Mics. We really do thank you. And I have to thank our guests, our wonderful guest, Kelsey McKinney, author of You Didn't Hear This From Me and co-creator and former host of the Normal Gossip podcast. Thanks so much for your time. And by the way, Kelsey will be at the Fillmore in Philadelphia as part of the You Didn't Hear This From Me tour on Thursday at 8 o'clock. So congratulations for playing the Fillmore, by the way.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
It's going to be so fun. I'm going to tell an insane story.
Oh, that sounds so good. And thank you, by the way, to our Studio 2 producers, Debbie Builder, Paige Murray Besser, and Andreas Copes. Thanks to Mike Schiffler, our visual producer. And thanks to Al Banks and Tina Calliquet and Adam Staniszewski, who engineered today's show. Our executive producer is Kevin McCrory. Thank you, too. And from Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Cherry Gregg.
I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. We will talk to you tomorrow.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.